If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We have tackled a lot in the last couple of days, talking about the execution in Louisiana, which did successfully take place last night. And we talked about the controversy involving waste management in the French Quarter and who should get the contract. And, you know, this is, you know, not my favorite stuff to talk about, but I love the city. And I want to do what I can to expose things that I think voters need to know about, not just citizens, but you voters. And the people who continue to vote for the wrong people to get in office. I mean, the mayor in New Orleans is almost a dictator. Almost a dictator. The city council is essentially the legislative branch of the city. Then you've got the courts, the judicial branch, and the mayor's office is the executive branch. But while the city council does have power, there are questions about whether or not they can do as much as maybe they should be able to do. In Jefferson Parish, in other cities around the country, city councils may have more power than here. And that's something that needs to change. But I think only the city council can change that. But you, if you're a voter in New Orleans, you have a chance to make it right this time. And I will never tell you who to vote for. I'll talk about the candidates, and it'll be obvious who my favorites are, and that's okay. This is talk radio. You can have favorite candidates. You can promote candidates. Fox News does it. MSNBC, CNN did it. And it's done in talk radio across the country. So there's nothing wrong with that. So if I seem to favor a candidate that's not your favorite candidate, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is just all part of a conversation that we're having about politics. But it seems like the voters made a huge mistake in the re-election of LaToya Cantrell. But in a way, they didn't know. They didn't know how brazenly arrogant she was going to be when it comes to everything. They didn't know. But now you know. And one of the things that I really want to drive home, and I don't know who all is going to be running, but it is time to put skin color aside, because a person's skin color does not guarantee that person cares about you. Oh, they'll act like they care about you to get elected. But when Mayor Cantrell got reelected and didn't have to face the voters again, she has shown time after time after time that she doesn't care about the voters. And many of you depended on her to take care of you and to help you. And I don't think she did. And I don't think she's taken good care of the city. And so when you have a decision to make, just keep that in mind. You know, we've got to get race out of the equation. And it's impossible to in some ways. But we've got to try. And we've got to start somewhere. Because it's not about race. It's not about skin color. Because there are African Americans taking advantage of African Americans all the time. There are Caucasians taking advantage of Caucasians all the time. And the person that you share skin color with is not necessarily the best person to take care of you, the best person to represent you in government. And so we'll talk about this a lot between now and October the 11th. which is the next election day for mayor of New Orleans. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. It's a real spring-like afternoon. I think the high today is supposed to be 80 degrees. Had the sunroof opened on the way in from West End earlier, and a really nice afternoon. I hope you're enjoying the extended daylight now that we're on daylight savings time. Always nice to just, you know, when you're off work and you get home, always nice to not get home in the dark and to have some light in the afternoon. And then I think this cold front's going to come through and cool things off a little bit for us. And I think we're going to have a pretty decent weekend. And I think the rain is going to hold off until Monday, which is nice. So we spent a lot of time the last few days talking about the execution in Louisiana. And there were some judges that stopped the execution because the method of execution was going to be gas, nitrogen gas. And the lawyers for Jesse Hoffman, the convicted murderer, the lawyers argued that he's a Buddhist now and he cannot practice his breathing with the mask on, like right before he dies. My suggestion was you practice your breathing until they put the mask on. And you're not going to be able to breathe after you die. So, you know, I mean, I think you can respect somebody's religion and still put them to death with gas. And one of the witnesses was Gina Swanson, who is a reporter and anchor on WDSU Channel 6. She described the execution as clinical and procedural. And she said that there was nothing that occurred to her during the process of the execution that made her think, was that right? Was that how it was supposed to go? And she essentially said, you know, it went as expected. In all of the conversations, I wasn't promoting the death penalty. And as I've been very honest about with you, I've constantly said that I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. I'm very conflicted when it comes to that. But I was simply saying that if we have the death penalty, there are easy ways to bring life to an end. And nitrogen is one of them. Again, I don't know why they don't just use up some of the fentanyl that they confiscate. Morphine is another thing that could be used where somebody would just drift off asleep. Now, there's a report that, well, first of all, the officials at Angola said it went flawlessly. But one witness said that there was some activity that indicated that he might be kind of going into a bit of a convolution or something like that. But it seemed that it was involuntary. It was an involuntary shake of some kind. And, you know, maybe that happens. But if we're going to have the death penalty, I mean, it is death. And so it's not going to be, you know, perfect. But again, I think morphine and fentanyl would really do the job. So anyway, this murderer who kidnapped a woman, forced her to go to an ATM and take out money, then forced her to drive across the lake. She's supposed to meet her husband. It's the day before Thanksgiving, 1996. And she's supposed to meet her husband for dinner. Instead of meeting her husband, she meets this 18-year-old guy who is forcing her to drive across the lake. Can you imagine her thoughts and feelings on that drive? And then they stop in an isolated area. You can only imagine what she's feeling at this point. And then he rapes her in the car. And then asks her to get out, forces her to kneel, and then shoots her in the head, execution style. And somebody who was commenting about this, one of the officials was commenting that she probably lived for a few minutes before she died, and he dumped her naked body into the Pearl River, which was found the next morning by a hunter or fisherman, I forget which. So, you know, it's been a long time since he committed this crime, but, you know, you have to remember what these people did and why they're on death row. And, you know, everybody changes. Again, I'm conflicted when it comes to the death penalty, but everybody changes. And so this is a different person today. So the person that who this guy is today, Jesse Hoffman, the person he is today, that person was executed. Was that the right thing to do? Some people say yes, and some people say no. There is a Louisiana poll showing that most voters are against closed primaries. I love this. JMC Analytics and Polling was commissioned by Unite America, and it found that Louisiana voters across party lines are in favor of an open primary system. Now, the difference between an open and a closed primary is this. We have closed primaries. So when you go to vote, during a primary, if you're a Republican, you can only vote for Republicans. You're a Democrat, you can only vote for Democrats. What this does is it prevents Democrats from voting for Republicans, because Democrats might choose a moderate Republican to run. People like Governor Jeff Landry love the closed primary because they have a better chance of selecting a right-wing radical, somebody who is into their right-wing radical mentality and ideology. They have a better chance of getting a right-wing radical as the Republican nominee. If you've got Democrats with an equal vote for Republicans as well, you might have a more moderate Republican win the nomination, and people like Jeff Landry don't want that. So if there is anything we can do, if anything comes up and we can promote this idea of open primary, let's go for it. And what we've been doing for the last 50 years is not right. All right. Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, is promising a lot of sex in her upcoming movie with Timothy Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet, a lot younger than Gwyneth Paltrow. It's interesting that this comes up because I recently talked on the show about Rob Lowe talking about how the scripts back in the 80s all had great sex scenes, and movies today don't have sex scenes like movies in the past. And I really hadn't thought about that, but it's true. I've been to a number of movies in recent years, and there haven't been a lot of sex scenes. And he said, he was kind of joking, but he said, every time I got a script, I could turn to page 73, and there'd be a sex scene. Even a movie about a nun and a priest, turn to 73, there's a sex scene, because there were always sex scenes in movies back in the 80s. And he's kind of right about that. So it's interesting that Gwyneth Paltrow is now talking about a lot of sex in this movie. So what is this movie about? And wait till you hear what she says about the intimacy coordinator. So now on a movie set, there's an intimacy coordinator who coordinates the intimate scenes. We'll talk about that when we come back. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1919, jazz music was played throughout the New Orleans area. A serial killer had threatened to murder anyone who was not listening to it. The killer was known as the Axeman, and he had claimed 8 victims when he sent a letter to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, and he published, they published his letter March 14th, 1919. And it read, at 12:15 earthly time on the next Tuesday night, I'm going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I am going to make a little proposition to you. And he said, here it is. I am very fond of jazz music, and I will swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time. I have just mentioned, if everyone has a jazz band going well, then so much better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of you people will die if the jazz music is not heard. And this was a song that was actually created for that. What's the title of this song?
This is The Mysterious Axeman's Jazz. There were composers in New Orleans who very hurriedly composed this piece of music and sold it at a premium so that, you know, families in New Orleans who could afford to hire a jazz band for the night had something to play.
This was so weird, but on this day in 1919, the jazz music was to play, and the serial killer would kill you if you weren't listening to the jazz music. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but
scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1976, the Doobie Brothers released Taking It to the Streets. It was their first album with Michael McDonald. He was hired to play keyboards with the band, but he took over the role as lead singer when he took over this song and did such a great job doing the song that he wrote, and he turned into the lead singer. I owe an apology to Troy Henry, and it was my mistake. I got a call. I don't know how he got my personal number, but he got it, and he called me while I was on the air yesterday, and it's a phone number from Henry Consulting. I texted Henry Consulting. I texted the number, and I read the text to you on the air earlier, and I didn't hear back from him. This could be a landline, and I did not consider that. So, Troy Henry, I apologize. I don't know who uses a landline anymore. I'm not criticizing you for doing it, but I didn't expect it to be a landline, but it must have been a landline because you called me and I sent a text back to that number, and I just never even considered that it could be a landline. So I apologize that you did not get back to me. If you want to call into the show, the number is 504-260-1870, and I'll be happy to hear from you again. But I don't appreciate that you called and called my boss and told me that I was wrong in calling you and Oliver Thomas cousins when you called him your cousin. And we played the audio of that video earlier in the show. But if you want to call into the show, you're welcome to 504-260-1870. All right, so Gwyneth Paltrow says there's going to be a lot of sex in her new movie with Timothy Chalamet. The film is called Marty Supreme. It's set in the 1950s, and Timothy Chalamet plays the part of a ping pong prodigy who has a wild affair with the wife of his rival, you know, the person that he's playing against. And Gwyneth Paltrow plays the wife that who's younger, he has an affair with. And she says there's going to be plenty of sex. She says, I mean, we're going to have a lot of sex in this movie. She is on the cover of Vanity Fair, the April issue. She's the cover story. And she says a lot of sex. And she says there's now something called an intimacy coordinator on the set, which I did not know existed. She said, we were talking about this. And I said, look, I think all that's fine. But she said, we're good. And she said, you know, you can just step back a little. I don't know how it is for the kids who are now starting out. But if someone is like, okay, well, then he's going to put his hand here. I would feel, as an artist, a little stifled by that. So she doesn't want that. She wants to be totally free to do her sex scenes. And again, I think this is interesting because of what I talked about Rob Lowe saying recently, that there just aren't good sex scenes in movies anymore. So I guess we'll have to see if this does go in this direction. Hey, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Anthony is in the Marigny. Anthony, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm outside, so it might be a little noisy, but I'll make this quick.
Hey, I'd be outside right now if I could be, too.
Well, about a year ago, if anybody watches TV, the evening news, they came on and they said that rats were eating the evidence in NOPD's evidence room.
Yeah, I remember that.
2 days later, Oliver Thomas is in a city council meeting, and when they're talking about getting a new evidence room, he says, what's the hurry? I'm like, what's the hurry? Did he ever think if somebody commits murder, they might not be able to get the evidence because they have to send it to Baton Rouge to the state trooper? facility?
Yeah, it seemed like there. I don't know about Oliver Thomas, but it seemed like that there were some people who were not so quick to act on that. But look, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this city that it's okay to ask questions about these things. And if people want to answer the questions, well, then answer the questions. But you shouldn't ever be afraid to answer questions. You shouldn't ever be afraid to stand up for what you believe. And if everything's cool, then you shouldn't worry about that. You shouldn't worry about questions being asked. And that's all we're doing here. And as I said during the show earlier, you know, I don't know Troy Henry. But when I hear about some of the things that happened and why the city council did not approve his contract, I have questions. And I ask those questions, and that's all I've done. And we've talked a lot about this situation, and I hope it works out for the benefit of the citizens of New Orleans and those people who come to visit and those of you who live outside of the city, but you come and you work in the city or you play in the city. Just because you live out of the suburbs of New Orleans or live in the suburbs and you're not in the city limits, you still care about the city. And I give you credit for caring about New Orleans and caring about who's mayor. You don't have a vote, but it's okay for you to care about New Orleans, and you should care about who's mayor, because your suburban area depends on New Orleans. If it weren't for New Orleans, your suburban area wouldn't be what it is. So, of course, you have a vested interest in the city of New Orleans. Hey, look, let me remind you that we're doing the best we can to celebrate. And Wednesday at the Square, it's happening today. It's a beautiful afternoon for it. This is the Young Leadership Council's concert series. It starts today, Wednesday at the Square. It's happening this afternoon. Linda Cassidy from our sister station, Magic 101.9, is going to be there today. She's going to introduce Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. And what's cool about this is it really does celebrate New Orleans music. It celebrates New Orleans music and a lot of local people that don't get attention. They're really good, really talented. And man, it's going to be a spring-like afternoon for the first day of Wednesday at the Square. It's happening right now. So if you're anywhere in the French Quarter, if you're anywhere in the Central Business District, don't get stuck in traffic. Just go hang out at Wednesday at the Square. There's food, there's arts, there's crafts. I mean, it's a festival. It's a and it's absolutely free. And this is sponsored by Abita Brewing Company, the Young Leadership Council, and WWL. And WWL Odyssey, really, really proud to be part of this. We were years ago, and we're part of this again. It's the Lafayette Square. Lafayette Square is right off of Poydras. It's one block off of Poydras at, I guess Camp. I think that's the street, Camp. I think it's between Camp and Magazine. But it's right there. You'll hear the music and you'll see the people walking in that direction. So, man, if you work in the CBD, Wednesday at the Square, you might have let this slip by and you might not have known this, but Wednesday at the Square begins this afternoon, and it is just a great way to just relax right after work and not even worry about the traffic. In fact, I might even take a walk over there this afternoon because, I don't know, it's been a bit of a stressful day on the show today. All right, if you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And we'll get to some of your text messages when we come back on WWL. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, and we are already halfway to the weekend. And again, I remind you, this is the first afternoon of Wednesday at the Square at Lafayette Square, sponsored by Abita Brewing Company and the Young Leadership Council. And WWL is sponsoring that. Linda Cassidy from 101.9, from Magic 101.9, one of our sister stations, is going to be there introducing the band. And look, it's a great way to be traffic and just hang out and watch some music. And they feature a lot of local talent that doesn't always get on a big stage. So that should be fun. And again, there's arts and crafts, and it's sort of a festival atmosphere. All right, so I got a phone call from Troy Henry's company, Henry Consulting, and this was while I was on the air yesterday. And I don't always look at my phone during the show. And he actually called Diane Newman yesterday, and that's how he got on the air. When I saw his number, who uses a landline anymore? Maybe this is a landline, but I texted him back, and I mentioned that I texted him, and I read the text on the air, and I said I didn't hear anything from him. So it could be that it's a landline, and he didn't get the text. And he called Diane. I hope he wasn't mad, because, I mean, people make mistakes. And people don't assume that anybody's using a landline. That is a very forgivable mistake these days. And said that he said that we never contacted. I never contacted him. And he always refers to me, apparently, as that guy on the air. You know, he can dismiss me as much as he wants. And I know he's a big time player. But I'm very proud of who I am and what I represent. And, you know, when he called yesterday, have you got the cut ready, Ian?
Yes.
You got the cut ready?
Yeah, before we go further, I should let you know I'm texting Mr. Henry right now. We'll have him on the air with us tomorrow. It would be silly to try to do it right now. You know, we're off the air in 13 minutes. Okay. It's not really fair. So we'll talk to him tomorrow. I might also offer if that's his office phone number, then they would probably be using a landline. You know, like I'm using a landline here when I make outgoing calls from this console. Well, so that's not impossible.
No, either. I'm not criticizing him for having a landline. It's just an honest mistake that you get a number from somebody and you text the number and not assuming it's a landline.
And when I mistakenly text a landline, which happens all the time, Jordan and Jeff Gilgreave will tell you that. Steve Geller will tell you that. If as a producer of a show, if you're trying to get in touch with somebody and you text a landline, you get a text back that says, hey, this is a landline. Nobody is going to read this text message. So I don't know if that's, you know, the responsibility of the carrier or the person that you're trying to reach. That doesn't happen all the time. You know, it's kind of impossible to tell if you're shooting a text out into the ether or if somebody's going to read it or not. So it is an unfortunate, miscommunication, but I don't think it's really anybody's fault. And I don't think anybody should be particularly upset about it. But here we are. We'll have Mr. Henry on the show tomorrow.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And by the way, we don't have to.
No.
You know, so I'm being totally fair. We don't have to let him on, but we will. And I'll be happy to hear what he has to say. I'm not happy that he got mad at me. I posted a video on Scoot on the Air Facebook and on Scoot on the Air Instagram. And I talked about the relationship between Oliver Thomas and Troy Henry. They're cousins. And he called Diane Newman and said, Scoot's making up stuff on the air about me. And so I wasn't making it up. I had a very reliable source that told me they're cousins. And so then I did a little research. Ian did a little research. We found an article in the Times-Picayune from 2018 that says they're cousins. And then after that, we got this video. And here is the audio of the video. And it's Troy Henry calling Oliver Thomas his cousin.
Clarity to that. Oliver Thomas is my cousin. So we have been colleagues or cousins for as long as I've known him.
Okay, so that's all we need to hear from that. So you're going to get mad at me for saying you're cousins? You know, this is not between me and you. This is just about the truth. And what I talked about earlier, and we can talk about this again tomorrow, with Troy Henry. The truth is that the city council did not approve his contract because he made changes, including increasing the price. So I'll give him a chance to answer to that.
I can understand from Mr. Henry's perspective if someone were to say that he was cousins with Oliver Thomas when he's not. I guess I can see myself being upset at that.
But I do too.
But to target that anger at you as though you just made that up out of whole cloth, like you just plucked that out of thin air, is really unfair. Like you pointed out, there's a newspaper article from 7 or 8 years ago that quite clearly lists Oliver Thomas as Troy Henry's cousin. It's all over social media, which is not to say that that's, you know, a primary source. Nobody's going to go to, oh, I saw it on Instagram, so it must be true. But it's definitely out there in the zeitgeist. You and I are not the only people who correctly or incorrectly believe that there is a familiar connection between these two men. It's not beyond the pale.
And we just heard him say it.
He
just said it himself. So, you know, I mean, it kind of pisses me off a little bit that he wants to get upset with me for making something up when what I said I didn't make up. I have no malicious intent whatsoever. And I don't know why Troy Henry is so upset at me talking about this because I've never said anything damaging to his company. Never. But in some of the things that he's been involved in the research that I did last night, there are a lot of questions. And it's okay to ask questions. And he can answer, I guess if he wants to answer the questions, he can answer the questions tomorrow. But that's all we've done on this show. I don't know Troy Henry. I don't wish Troy Henry or anybody any harm or ill will. But I have questions. And I do think, and J.P. Morrell stated this, that there's a point when you present yourself as a disadvantaged business because you're a minority and you're just starting out. There's a point, apparently, in the charter that says once you reach a certain point, you're no longer a disadvantaged business. And when you have millions and millions and millions of dollars, you're no longer a disadvantaged business. And that's the way it should be. And other disadvantaged businesses run by minorities should be getting chances. And my source tells me a lot of them are not getting chances that they deserve. So, again, I'm just asking questions. And nobody should be upset with questions being asked. But when people get really sensitive about things, you can't help but wonder why. Why? And why? And why? If you said Oliver Thomas is your cousin, why get mad at me and call my boss? And my boss backed me on this. She backed me. She said, don't you take the video down until we know, because they may be cousins. I don't have time to go through the city records, but I heard him say it, and so did you. This just goes to show you how ugly New Orleans politics is. I mean, ugly. It's ugly. It's about my territory. It's about what I want. It's about what's for me. It's about domination. That's the impression I get. And I'm just a talk show host. I'm not a big money player in the world of business. But I have a right to ask questions as a citizen of New Orleans and as a talk show host. All right, I'm Scoot. We're going to come back to wrap up the show here on WWL. All right, Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier and Steve Geller coming up. You know, soon we'll be back into the preseason stuff with the Saints. It's going to be exciting. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoko, always does a great job. A lot smoother day-to-day with a brand new equipment. Also, I want
don't
to thank
jinx
our
it, man. Don't jinx it.
Market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Courtney P. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. Join me on Scoot on the Air Instagram and Scoot on the Air Facebook. I'll post another video this afternoon, but the video that I posted yesterday was apparently accurate based on the audio from a video we just played a few minutes ago. Hey, enjoy Wednesday at the Square. Have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.